Kia ora, bro. Ata mari e koutou, good morning. Whenever Izzy puts his arm around me, it feels like I'm going to be crushed. But he's gentle like that, you know. Thanks, Izzy. I'm going to come a bit closer to you all because we're a bit far away up here. Just welcome you afresh to the house. I just really felt just to pray before because just thanking God for his life. It's just not an old thing to do. It's just like, oh, yeah, your life, God. Yeah, we carry on. It's just his life is better than life. And, to declare that is an important part of our worship of God, is to thank him for what he's done and to continue doing so. Hey, just this morning, we're going to be starting a series shortly on the kingdom of God. Not a small topic. A kaupapa, which is really important to me, but I think a great place for us to be in these days because, you know, as a church, Sarah and I, we've been here 7 months. In the role 7 months, we've been here 4 months. And we're actually feeling like we're feeling the weights of the move in a good way. Like, we love being here, don't get us wrong, but it's just such a massive thing coming here. And we're still coming to terms with that. We love it, but it's just such a big thing, and we're still kind of settling in, I guess. But we felt like as we've been here 7 months, just let me get my presentation sorted. As we've been here 7 months, and from some things that we've heard from the church, it'd be a good time to say, hey, these are some of the things that we're feeling as a kaitiaki that we feel for the church going forward. And we're really grateful that we leave with David and Bronwyn and Blake and Brooke because team is really important. God is a team in himself, Father, Son, and Spirit. They work perfectly together. We are called to be a team. And hopefully what I share this morning comes from that. One of the questions that I've been getting is, you know, Ben, what's your vision for the church? Oh, I love that question. I love that question. Because what it feels like is that conjuring up this really clever idea, and though its vision is important, don't get me wrong, we want to have a sense of where we're going, but it's the things that we feel for the church, it's not necessarily maybe the most popular idea, but necessary, and I'll get into that as we come through. So I want to talk this morning about what we long for the church, and Scotty, if you can chuck my thing up, thank you. You might remember at the start of the year the end of last year, start of the year, I can't remember when it was, I talked about how I see the church, that I see the church as like a strawberry plant, that the strawberry plants, if you know, they establish themselves. Once they're established, they grow, they move, and they reproduce, and they grow. And it's this beautiful metaphor of, like Jesus said, that the kingdom of God is like a mustard seed. The kingdom of God is like yeast mixed through the dough. That it doesn't just stay stagnant, it grows. It moves. That the kingdom of God is moving and growing whether we like it or not. The kingdom of God is advancing. Nothing can stop that. And for the church, we are a growing people. That God is healing us and doing great things in us, but we're called to grow, and we're called to plant churches. We're called to extend the kingdom of God in our communities, in our lives. However, as I was explaining this metaphor to Kaitiaki, Blake Nielsen, who's part of the team, he said, did you know, Ben, that strawberry plants are aggressive feeders? That strawberry plants don't flourish unless they are very well fed. That, sure, they're meant to multiply and grow, but they only do that if they're well fed, well nurtured. They need plenty of things to grow. They are aggressive feeders. And like us, we need to be fed. As God's people, we constantly need to be fed. And if we're not being fed on the right things, we'll feed ourselves on things that aren't the right things. We are being formed whether we like it or not, whether we're formed by Christ. That's great if we've been, but we are all being formed by something or someone. And as feeders, we need to feed on the right things. And I want to talk a little bit about the D word. It's not a naughty word. The D word is discipleship. Sarah and I, when we moved to Dannevirke, we were in Dannevirke for 7.5 years leading Dannevirke Christian Fellowship. And when we first started there, we had this thing like, we want discipleship to be really big in the church. And we're like, good idea, Ben. That's a good thought. But it's like, how do you do that? How do you make disciples of people? How do you make people follow Christ? Well, the answer is you can't. You can't make people, but you can make it compelling. But we were just trying to figure out how do we make discipleship, our discipleship to Jesus, compelling and important, and how do we disciple each other? And, you know, this is one thing we've wrestled with and only really in recent times come to terms with how we might be able to do that. And, you know, there's been lots of discipleship in this house over the years, but we feel as a kaitiaki, how do we make that stronger? How do we nurture people, grow people, and help them see themselves as Christ sees them and that they're effective in the world around us? How do we do that? And the thing is, discipleship calls us to die to ourselves, doesn't it? It's not the... When we call people to Christ, we're actually calling them to die. Because when they die and find their life in Jesus, they truly live. We truly live. But it's a death to self. Discipleship isn't the most... It is the most exciting thing, but telling that to someone that, hey, come follow Jesus, Jesus calls you to die, it's not the most compelling welcome. Yet, we do. We do have to die. And it's not just one-off thing. We're constantly dying to ourselves, aren't we? But the life we have in Jesus, we believe, is better than the life we can make for ourselves. And so, in this... Sarah and I came across this organization called Practicing the Way. You might have heard me mention it, but when we went to a conference in Portland, Oregon last year in America, it was part of a journey that Sarah and I, Sarah's my wife, by the way, Sarah and I have been trying to figure out how do we do this whole thing of discipleship. And Practicing the Way is an organization that has been set up to help churches in forming disciples. And it's a non-profit. It's led by a guy called John Mark Comer. John Mark used to lead a church called Bridgetown Church in Portland, Oregon, where we went to visit. And this organization is set up to help churches and help people grow in their relationship with Jesus. And there's some great resources, but we feel like this is not the silver bullet. It's not like, hey, we're going to do this and it's going to be all well. But we feel like it's a great way to help us nurture the whole thing of discipleship in the church. How do we make people love Jesus? We can't, but we can help them in a compelling thing. And so John Mark Comer and his church back in America, they went on this journey that they said, we want to make spiritual formation the most important thing of what we do. Spiritual formation is a fancy word about forming people into disciples of Christ. But it's not an easy thing. It's not necessarily the most popular thing, but we believe it's the most necessary thing. How are we being formed by Jesus? In their church in America, their church has 100 connect groups. 100. So in our church here, we've got about 4 or 5 home groups, which is great. Well, their church has 100 of them. Because they say, they believe that actually being together in a small group, doing life together intentionally is actually where we grow. And I love the Sunday space. This space, I love it because we come together, we worship, we sing, we rejoice, we celebrate God together once a week. But this isn't the only way we grow. In fact, this is probably the secondary way we grow. We grow through relationship. First unto Jesus, but also to each other. That is how we grow. And this isn't just something that's Practicing the Way. This has been my journey. I have grown in my faith in God because people have invested in my life. That I've been part of small groups where I felt vulnerable and learned to pray. And they used to mock me at my connect group because I used to pray in tongues like this. I'd say, hey, 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 hey. Spiritual... tongues is a spiritual language and a prayer language that we can receive from the Holy Spirit, right? And it started like that, but they used to mock me for it. But that was where it learned and it grew and it flourished in this small group. And I was making a fool, it felt like I was making a fool of myself, but God was doing something in that moment. And, you know, we have a relationship with Jesus. It's one-on-one, it's personal. Yes, I believe that, but it's also very corporate. And we don't grow isolated. The best growth that we have is around people. 100%. Hands down, that is the way we grow, through relationship. It's being intentional. And we're called to be intentional about our relationships. I'm currently doing postgraduate study. And it's requiring a bit of my headspace at the moment, but it's really good and part of my growth. But in my reading recently, I found this quote, which I think is beautiful, and I want to read it to you. It says this, sorry if you can't read it so well there, but theology is not primarily the function of individuals, but the church. For Christian thinking is essentially joint thinking in fellowship, in which we share with one another and learn from one another in Christ, and refuse to run off on private byways of our own. Christian thinking is essentially ecumenical, which is meaning together, thinking in which we submit ourselves to the teaching and criticism of others that we might learn more and grow and more of Christ through them, and with them seek to let the one mind of that is in Christ be in our mind. To have the mind of Christ is to be ready at all times to understand the other person's point of view, to regard them in Christ, to listen to what Christ has to say through them, and to rethink our own views in the light of what we thus learn. In a nutshell, what he's saying, what Thomas Torrance is saying, that we grow through each other. And we experience Jesus through each other. We experience the Spirit of God through each other. Yes, we experience Jesus and the Spirit of God ourselves for sure, but it actually comes in relationship. It comes through conversation about Scripture. It comes through hearing people's testimony. It comes through people sharing about prayer life and the challenges of that, and hearing the ups and downs of life. That is where our growth comes from. Our family, we've just come through COVID, which I didn't enjoy very much. I don't like being cooped up at home. I love my family and my children, but it's good to be able to come and go, right? Good to have some space from time to time. So I got let out of the cage one day. Actually, Sarah and I took turns to go for walks because we had to be at home and stuff. And so I went for a walk, and one of the greatest joys of my life has been able to walk on the beach. I've never been able to walk on the beach where I live. It's cool. And as I was walking on Ngamotu Beach, there was a stump on the ground, on the sand, and I stood on it and looking out. And I was just saying to God, I said, God, I just feel like I moan a lot. I feel like in my prayer, I moan a lot, which is kind of okay because Psalms is full of moaning, so that's okay. But I feel like I'm just kind of constantly just kind of, that's my prayer life, a lot of that. And I felt the Spirit of God say this. He said, Ben, you actually have a lot of longings. He didn't say, yeah, Ben, stop your moaning, cut it out. What he said was, actually, Ben, you have a lot of longings. A longing up there, as I've put, is a yearning desire. The things we deeply desire for our lives, for our friends, for our family, for the church, for our relationship with God, these things that we long for. I know out in here in this space, there's a lot of longings. And, you know, I've got many longings for the church. We've got lots of stuff going on, though, by the way, as we're establishing the kind of being here. We know that this building needs a lot of work. We're trying to discern whether we stay here or whether we go. That's no small thing. So how does that look? What is that? How our longing for a building? You know, these are desires and things we have in our hearts for a space. But I wanted to, I was going to invite Gay Moore up here to come and share with you, because Gay had a dream last year well before we knew that what was really going on with this building, before we had that report. And we kind of felt like, as a kaitiaki, felt it was time that we let Gay, not let Gay, sorry, we have Gay share this dream, because I think God's speaking through it. God speaks through dreams a lot. We see it in Scripture. But I want Gay to come up, because I want to just to share it and for it to just sit on us for a moment. Thanks, Gay.
Okay, I had this dream back in October 22. And in this dream, I was in a house and I heard the words, the rooms need a change. And at this house, there was a swimming pool. And there was a swimming instructor training young people, mostly boys, for competition. The instructor said the practice will be changed to the local pool from now on. Then in a bedroom, now office, was an older lady. It was no one I knew. Also in the house was a beautiful stained glass window. When it opened, it didn't open out to the outside, it opened to the inside. And when I prayed about the interpretation, I felt that this dream was for the church, and the church was going to have a change, and things that were used for one purpose would be used for another. The instructor, the Holy Spirit, and we know the water speaks of the Holy Spirit, is going to move into the community, instructing young people how to move in the Spirit. Things that have been on the inside will be opened to the outside, and that's like the window that needs to be open to the outside. And then the church will begin to see the beauty that is in the inside the church. And I think in this dream also, there's generations that I hadn't thought about before. There's young people and an older lady, so it's for generations.
There you have it. I just feel there's something significant about that dream for City Life, for us as a community. Change. That the room has to change, that there's a lot to unpack in that, and we've thought about it, and it may not be fully realized yet. But the reason why we're sharing that with you is if I'm coming back to this quote here, where theology, so it's not just like the one person up the front discerning everything, that's not what necessarily City Life's about, I must say. But this is something we want to invite you into. To pray and discern what we feel like God is saying, perhaps through this dream. Not just through Gay's dream, but what God is saying through many ways that God is speaking to us. We're praying at the moment. We're meeting three times a week to pray together, to encourage each other, but just to lift up the health of the church and say, God, we hold this in your hands. Our longings that we have, we hold them in your hands. We need God to speak to us. And God is speaking to us, but that's just not a 2 and 3 approach. God speaks to all of us. And I want to encourage all of you that you all can hear from God, and we would love to hear what you feel like God is saying. But I want to end on this last question, this one question here. What longings do you have? And it doesn't have to necessarily be about the church. It could be about for your family. It could be just many things. But what things do you yearn and desire in your heart? These things are important for us to know, because if we want to see, we believe in change for the church, and we feel like this whole formation, doing home groups better, doing more home groups and doing more life together, we feel like that's part of the change of City Life and putting more emphasis on home groups. But we want to know what longings you have, because our longings before God are really important, but maybe some of the longings you have could help shape and influence City Life in the future. That's not to put pressure on us, that's just to make us excited that actually this is about all of us and not a select few. So that's how I want to finish. I was just wondering, Andy, do you mind maybe just playing just quietly your guitar? But just where you are with someone that you know maybe, or if you're new here, you don't know many people, please, I don't want to make you feel uncomfortable, but I'd just love for you to sit where you are with your friends or family or someone you trust, and just share with those people, what do you long for? What are the things in your heart that you desire to see in the kingdom of God? What are the things you desire for your family? Because we have a lot of longings and we want to put them before God, and as we process them with God, then God will speak to us about how those longings could come into a reality or how God might want to shape them. So just where you are, I'll come and finish off, but just just love to hear, once you talk to each other, what are your longings? What do you desire? What are you passionate for? What do you believe for? There's something about declaration and saying these things that matters. So let's just spend some time talking about our longings. If it'd be great, just bring you all together. Just to be great to sing shortly, just to worship. But I want to tell you my longings for City Life. This is what I long for the church. I long to see the church healthy. I long to see the church fully embracing the life we have in Jesus and running with that. I long to see relationships that are deep, not surface level. I long to see people healed and restored. And whatever sphere that is, I long to see people in such relationships that life without them sucks. I long to see many things for this church, and maybe some of your longings align with that. But I just want to just stand, and Andy's going to play for us. Just sing that we love God, that we love you, Lord, and keep your longings alive. Keep sharing these things with friends and keep your longings before Christ, because he wants to hear your longings and wants to do something through them. Let's sing. Thanks, Andy.